What's up, metalheads? Welcome to In the Pit with Dimitri and Dick. I'm your host, Dimitri Sparks, and with me is Dick Day Felice.
Hey, how we doing? How we doing?
Good, good. This is your first time tuning into the podcast. That's only because there are only two episodes and you skipped the first one.
And we'd say you might not have missed one. No, I'm just kidding.
Right. All right, man. Today on the podcast, we're going to talk about a band called Meth Leopard and their album Woke.
So, you know, just in case you guys are unfamiliar with this band, this is a grindcore band from, they're from South Australia, Adelaide to be exact. Not that I'm real familiar with geography in Australia, but that's where they're based out of. But what I wanted to do
is South.
Yeah, I would assume with a name like that, it would be. But, you know, then again, I'm not Rand McNally by any means here. So what I wanted to do, though, before we get too far into that, I want to say how we came about reviewing this record. You know, we were starting to look for some people to review, and we actually had Wise Grinds had said they anything we were wanting to review, we could take our pick, and came across this record and thought it'd be a good pick. And I wanted to thank Wise Grinds Records for reaching out to us. If you don't know about this record company, this is a company based out of Memphis, Tennessee. This particular release, you know, that we're reviewing, the Meth Leper record, it's a joint release with couple other record labels here in North America. It was released with a joint release with Bloody Scythe Records. It'll also be released later this year in Europe with Psycho Control Records. And this record company, the Wise Grinds, they're all about you know, DIY underground extreme music. Another release they are going to have coming out soon here, it's a split between two bands. It's going to be a split LP, Taiwanese grindcore band Brain Control, as well as the death metal band based out of both the U.S. and Taiwan, Ripped to Shreds. So you're going to want to check that out, too. And again, I wanted to thank them for letting us review something out of their catalog here. You can check them out on Facebook, also on Bandcamp and Instagram, Wise Grinds Records.
Yeah, that's pretty awesome. And I know this is their first LP, and mm-hmm. they formed in 2015. And were they with Wise Grind Records at the time?
I don't believe so. And you know, honestly, I wish I would have researched that. I could look it up right now, though. I know they had a lot of splits out actually prior to this. Right. And you know, they had their demo out in 2015. And let me just take a look here. I want to pull up their discography so we know all the information on this band.
You know, I like splits. You know, you get two bands.
Yeah, I think it's good. It lets you find a lot of stuff. You know, and that's something I don't have in front of me right now. I don't think everything was released on that label. But, you know, a lot of their stuff, they were on some compilations too. Here is the other thing. So they've done a lot of splits, some compilation work, but this is their first LP here that's out. So, you know, this is their first one that's fully them with a full track listing.
Yeah, I really like the cover art. Mm-hmm. It's pretty cool. It's black and white, and you have a whole bunch of stuff going on. You got rockets. Got a koala bear. There's a guy on fire.
Yeah.
There's a looks like President Trump in the front, yeah. And he's spitting in somebody's mouth. I think
that's what it looks like to me. You know, it looks like a collage of all kinds of stuff going on. It looks like a little bit of police stuff there, citizens and just civil unrest. Which, when you look at some of the stuff this band has put out, that would be in line with what it seems some of their stuff is related to. You know, with the type of music and the type of songs, grindcore type stuff, usually a lot of stuff about civil unrest and different things like that is in there. But you can tell this band has some humor too. One, with the name that they've chosen, Meth Leopard, and two, with also just even some of the song titles on the record. There was just some ones in there, you know, like instead of dead Kennedys, you got dead Kardashians and different things, you know. So it's obvious there's a little bit of humor mixed in. But, you know, we're going to come back and we'll do, like, you know, the review of this album. But, you know, as always, we like to shoot the shit a little. So what you got going on?
I just want to say one more thing about the Meth Leopard, the cover art for Woke, is it seems like a grindcore Where's Waldo?
Yeah. There's a whole lot of stuff going on there, and it's kind of like you can see what you could pick out on there, right?
Yeah. Really cool.
So.
Yeah, so how you been, Dick?
I'm all right. You know, typical, I guess, as far as anything new going on, just, you know, work and, I don't know. You know, typical Floridian stuff, like going swimming a lot lately because it's so hot here. There's not a whole lot else you can do. What about yourself?
Oh, hell yeah.
What about you?
The heat's been crazy.
Oh, yeah.
I don't know how you deal with the heat down there. It's Alexa said it was 85 degrees, mm-hmm. and I took the dogs for a walk, and I don't know where it was 85 degrees at because it felt like my clothes were going to catch on fire when I went outside. It was so freaking hot.
Yeah. And I mean, that's how it is here with us too. It's in where you're at there, because you're, you know, in Tennessee, you guys are still pretty humid this time of year too, right?
Yeah. Humid. We're supposed to get a lot of rain coming up, but it's just been, it's so hot.
We get that every day here in some form, some days more than others, but a lot of times it's those splash and dash type deals that you get. So I know we always try to structure our outside time of the day around that a little bit here, you know, but all the humidity. So, but.
Yeah, I got a terrible, terrible sunburn yesterday. I went tubing again. I know last time
this
we talked.
This seems to be a recurring theme for you, tubing and sunburns.
I know. I'm not like a fanatic. It just happened. Like, I rarely ever go, and I happened to go like 1 week, and then I skipped 1 week, and then the next week I went. So I went twice in a span of a month. But there's like nothing else going on, and it's only like $12. You could spend pretty much the whole day on this.
Yeah.
It's like this little tiny river, and you get on it, and it's fun. You hang out with some friends. You're in a tube, and you know, that beautiful weather yesterday. I mean, it was hot, but you had water to cool you down. The only thing different yesterday, I didn't have any alcohol. Or last time, I just got super shit faced. This time here, though, I just drank water because I'm doing this challenge. I don't know if you've ever heard of it. It was created by Andy Frisella, and it's called 75 Hard.
I'm familiar with it. It's the deal where it's not, well, it packages itself as not an exercise challenge, right? It says it's a whole basic revamping of your whole lifestyle and so on, right?
Yeah, it's basically, they call it a mental toughness challenge. And it's for 75 days. So I think that's just short of 12 weeks. But it has – so it's not only just exercise. I mean, there's exercise in it. But at the end of it, it's supposed to help you gain, like – supposed to get like mental toughness, you know, more confidence, more charisma. You basically go through a transformation, both mental and physical. And it's just a list of a couple things. There's like five or six things on here. Let me pull up the app real quick. None of it's really hard. It's just being able to do it every single day. So all the things that you have to do on here, you have to do it every day. You can't take a day off. So some of the things on here is that you got to stick to a diet. So it doesn't matter what diet you can do. You can do the soup diet, keto, paleo, whatever diet you want. It has to just be something that is a good diet. You know, you can't say that I'm going to eat pie pizza every day. Oh, it's a pizza diet, man.
But wouldn't that fit with the guidelines there? He wasn't specific. You could just...
He wasn't specific on it. I think he did mention someplace on his podcast something about not to have the pizza diet. And so it has to be something
You don't want to just like eat Takis every day or like what else could you... Takis, whatever, nitro, or what, I don't know what the flavors are. I just know.
I've never had a Takis. Is that like an Andy Cap fry? Remember Andy Cap fry?
Yeah, it's not dissimilar to that. I mean, they're okay, but I guess my big thing about like Takis is I just any of those kind of snacks, I hate when you're done eating them. No matter what, you got all that powder all over your hands and you wash your hands, but then your hands are stained like, you know, red and all. I don't know. That's my big beef with eating Takis, is they get all over everything. You get crumbs all over the place. It's just a mess, you know.
Oh, yeah. I used to be really obsessed with Doritos. I guess I still am, but yeah. Doritos were like that, too. They get all over your fingers, yeah, and it's like it gets all over the place. Yeah. It ends up getting on your shirt. You got to use, like, 10 paper towels to kind of get it all off. And usually, too, when I'm eating Doritos, it always ends up cutting the roof of my mouth somehow. It's like the
non-peanut butter versions of Captain Crunch. It's like chewing on a bowl full of razor blades.
It is. It would just like just rub off the top layer of your skin in your mouth. But it was so good. Like, you just take it. You just like, oh, whatever. I'll be in pain. But
I guess to summarize, then your diet for this 75 strong, it can't be all Takis and Captain Crunch then, or all Dorito, whatever crunchy foods you favor.
Yeah, it's probably not the best diet to be on. But I mean,
what are you picking? Paleo, keto.
No, I'm doing keto. And I've done it before. It's not bad. I've never really stayed consistent with it. But for the most part, I can do it. Like, throughout the week, I can do it. The hardest part's like on a weekend when I'm like going out with other people and drinking, and people want to get like appetizers and stuff. And I'm like, that's when my willpower gives out. Oh, I'm like, oh, fuck.
Vodka is keto. You know? But I guess that goes against the no alcohol 75 strong deal. So you're just.
Well, for this, yeah, if you're just doing keto, you could drink straight vodka because there's not any carbs in it. But then you drink too much, and then you get drunk, and then you get hungry. And
I think most people do stuff like that, so it really is kind of either way, you're going to end up going down the wrong path when you start doing all that. So that's what's kind of
good about this program, too, is it kind of incorporates things that make the diet successful, right? Like, so if when you're on keto, so one of the things is no cheat meals. And no alcohol, right? So when you hit a cheat meal, it's like one of those things where you eat a cheat meal and then you're like, oh, I'm just going to eat this one thing and then I'm going to go back. And then you eat that and it just kind of snowballs and you're down a whole week where you just ate pizza and Takis, right? And then this year is no alcohol too. So you don't have the alcohol piece where, like, even when you're drinking alcohol, like, you could drink vodka or even like a Michelob
Ultra, or really like most beers, I guess.
It doesn't have a lot of carbs.
Light beers aren't really.
Unless you're drinking heavy craft beers. Heavy craft beers like have a decent amount of carbs. Yeah. It tastes pretty like you're drinking bread almost on some of those. You know, those were heavy ones. But when you start drinking those, like, you drink like at least five or six, and that's like 12 carbs right off the bat. So it's kind of good that you're not doing the alcohol. The other thing on here too is drink 1 gallon of water a day. That's been the toughest part so far. Because I didn't realize how little water I drank prior to this. I just would drink like periodically throughout the day, and I drink coffee. Mm-hmm. But drinking a gallon of water now is pretty difficult, and I end up forgetting. And then right before bed, I end up chugging 64 ounces of water.
I know that's always my classic problem, because I drink a lot of water, but then I wake up about 100 times a night. So I don't know. Like, that always is a little bit of a negative of staying hydrated, as you seem to wake up to piss all the time. So I don't know. And then you go, and it takes you a million, feels like hours to fall back to sleep, even though it's probably 10 minutes, but it just feels all disjointed. Right. So I guess my question is, would you say that you feel that challenge has an element of built-in success then, with all the different stipulations?
Well, by looking at it on paper, it does. The other tough part about it is the consistency of it, because you can't miss one day. If you miss one day, or if you miss one thing on this list, you have to start back at day one.
Okay.
And it's easy to do for like 1 or 2 days, but not missing a day is where it gets really tricky, and that's where it builds up like the mental toughness, right? Yeah. Where you have the thing where, you know, you can't quit. You got to keep going, you know, no matter how hard it is. Mm-hmm. And another thing on here too, most people probably find this easy. It's not hard. It's just finding the time to do it is to read. Mm-hmm. You only have to read like 10 pages, but it has to be like a nonfiction book. You can't be reading, Disney books. You can't be reading
You can't read that scary stories book that everyone liked in like
Scary Stories to Tell in the Dark. Yeah,
that's all the pictures that looked like they would have fit in on like a extreme metal kind of album cover, and then they recently did away with that. Do you remember that?
Yeah, it was all like skulls or like skulls eating.
I remember reading the story that I liked. It was about like a scarecrow skinned a farmer and then like put him like on top of his roof or something. There was a picture in the book that kind of had that on it. I think they did away with all that stuff though now. I don't know, but yeah,
probably. Yeah, it was kind of morbid for kids, but it was
fun. I used to always check them out of the library back in the time. I don't know. It was probably why I like some of the music I like these days. I don't know. It could be. But
maybe. Yeah, because I used to go, it was like Scholastic book fairs where they bring huge carts full of books. The kids were like, I could buy like Clifford the Big Red Dog and I'd buy Scary Stories to Tell them.
Well, here's my next question though with the whole challenge. What have you settled on? What kind of workouts you're gonna do, or you know, or
yeah? So one other thing on here is I get to take a progress picture every day. So you take, I just take a picture of myself in the mirror, fully nude. No, you don't have to do nude. I just get the upper half. I mean,
there's no rule against it.
No rule against it. I mean, you can bring other people into the picture. It just has to be a progress picture. So you can take your shirt off, you know.
Are you going to do the thing where on the first one, like, you puff your stomach out and you don't shave for the 10 days and you look horrible? Like, you look...
I had talky dust, like, all over my stomach. I had a glob of sour cream, like, on my chin.
Yeah.
You got to make it look a little rough, right? And so you have to do that. So the other part about it is you have to do two workouts. So... both workouts have to be at least 45 minutes, and one workout has to be outside. So evidently, the workout outside, I usually just end up running 45 minutes or a walk for 45 minutes. More walking than running. I run a couple of days a week. But, I mean, you could basically do any workout you want to. You don't have to work out and do, like, heavy lifting, squats, and things like that. You can walk both times if you want to. Two 45-minute walks, or you could do yoga. You can do anything as long as it's some type of a workout. But, yeah, so those are the two types of workouts I normally do. The second workout, I go to the gym and I lift weights. I usually just do, like, 1 mile.
I remember, me and you have always had differing opinions on weightlifting, because I remember back in college we used to get on you about your type of workouts, right?
Like the biceps.
Biceps and what else? What you? No matter what it was that you do, you go, what, you guys don't like this? It's not. I don't know. I remember we used to just bust your balls about biceps all the time back then. No. I mean, I guess the gym wise,
pretty simple.
Like, what kind of gym do you work out
cheap.
At now?
It's not bad. The one I go to is like a newer one.
Oh yeah.
So they got a lot of like shit in the back, battle ropes, and there's this thing. It looks like a big like spool of rope that you just pull down, and it winds back up. They got like kettlebells, like bars, some other shit like that. So it's got some newer stuff in it. You know what, man? Like when I used to go to the gym like 15, 20 years ago, I used to go in, and it was like people would go there and just work out, right? And they would have like, they didn't have any technology, didn't have smartphones or nothing like that. I mean, I guess maybe you had MP3 players then, but the people now, they're just like a whole new level of annoyance when I go in there. Cause there's people that like, you'll go in and there's only so many, you know, I have to go in there and do squats on the Smith machine. Right. Cause it's basically the only place you can do squats in there that has a place for you to put heavy enough weight on there. But now you got people that go underneath there and they take video calls. They're on the phone with somebody. And, you know, like I'm waiting to get in there. Right. But they don't seem to care. I see like a lot of people do this, you know, like people call them in and they accept the call. Like, hey, what are you doing? Oh, not much at the gym. No. Yeah, sure. I can talk to you. No problem. There's only like 7 people waiting for me, but you know, this is important. So that type of person there. Yeah. I get a lot of that. It's pretty annoying because before you didn't have that. And now you have a lot more of people just, you know, fucking around, looking on Facebook, checking Instagram, taking selfies, taking pictures of themselves, you know. Very normal.
Yeah, yeah.
Another annoying person, too, I don't know why, but this person annoys me the most, is the guy that does the lunges in the middle of the gym.
So you mean like the guy he'll make it a point to make like a spectacle and do them all the way down like the length of the whole
building. The lane that you're walking in is like he'll go clear across the gym with these dumbbells in his hand doing lunges. And I always seem to like end up being in his way. And I guess the lunge guy has the right of way because you have to move out of the way for him. And it's fucking annoying. And then the other annoying person, too, is you have that guy, and you have the guy that runs around the perimeter of the gym, right? Like, there's treadmills there, or you could run outside if you wanted to, but he chooses to run around the perimeter of the building, which is, again, is usually in the walkway. It's usually, like, where the water fountain's at. We're trying to get water, and people are just running right past it, and you have to dodge them. It's very annoying.
Well, I mean, like, I don't get it, so... He goes to a gym, and instead of use any of the different types of equipment that you can do that on, they just run.
Yeah.
Do they do like a machine then run? Like, are they saying they're super setting or whatever? I mean, I'm just trying to wrap my head around.
I have no idea what they're doing. I say this maybe three times. It's not as common as the lunge guy, but the run around the gym guy. I don't know if that's like a warm up. Or it could be a part of a superset. I would make the most sense, right? Because you're in the middle of doing bench presses and then you want to run. But it's annoying either way.
But these kind of things, I vaguely remember this stuff. But this is always why I'm glad I built a gym in my garage. And I don't really ever go to commercial gyms too much anymore for that.
But, I mean, for $10 a month, that's what you have to put up with, you know?
Yeah, but that's pretty cheap. I don't know. And when it's, you know, it serves its purpose, I'm sure that you can find times of the day to get in there and get around all that if you got to. I don't think it's probably the worst. I don't know. But then again, I can't say because I haven't really dealt with it in years.
Yeah.
But I don't know. I know. I remember the rec center used to be a mess, though. Always with some of the dumb stuff people did. A lot of it was just, you know, the typical broing out and talking a lot and, you know, whatever. Right. I don't know. So.
Yeah.
But.
How's your Sunday going?
It was all right. I'm trying to think. Went to the pool, came home, hung out here pretty much all day. Typical lazy Sunday stuff. How about yours?
Yeah. Sunday is a day that is just. I have a day off on Sunday, but it's like I end up doing a bunch of shit I don't want to do, like get groceries. Mm-hmm. Like Sunday's like a grocery day. Because I don't get groceries Sunday, I don't feel like going the rest of the week. So I got to make it a point to either go to like Costco or Kroger or someplace like that.
Yeah.
And I got to walk around. It takes up like a good hour of my day looking for shit. Mm-hmm. And then usually I work out and stuff too because I'm doing this challenge. And then I got to do laundry. Laundry sucks. Laundry, there's never an end to laundry. Like, as soon as you get done with laundry, you got more laundry because the shit you're wearing is now dirty. So it just never fucking ends with laundry.
Yeah, it's pretty much always just like, I know, I feel like as soon as I just folded everything, I get another pile that just came back in there. It's like working at a laundromat almost. I don't know.
It's terrible. And then sheets. Like, if you ever have to wash sheets, there was like a fitted sheet. I have no idea how to fucking fold this thing up. And what happens is I'll wash those and dry them. And I'll just toss them on the bed, and they'll just will never be folded because my wife doesn't do it. She'll just take them and grab them and throw them off on the floor.
Yeah,
and they just never ever get folded. We'll put them in a closet someplace, just shove them in there.
Yeah,
no idea how to fold that. I fitted sheet stuff.
Well, I know you're supposed to pinch the corners. I've seen it done, but I never can replicate it. I think it's probably easier to fold a flag than it like in that weird triangle they always do than it is to actually fold that fitted like. Sheet with the elastic in it. I don't know, but
hey, you're right.
Yeah, so
you're right, but it's un-American that fitted sheet.
But anything else though? Like,
not really. Sundays are pretty boring.
Yeah,
for me in general.
Yeah,
I almost wish I had some more energy on Sundays to do some other things.
Yeah,
wish I had some more energy. Mm-hmm. Yeah, but what would give me energy? You know, I drink coffee. Coffee is usually not enough anymore. You know what really helped me out? Some meth. I'm talking Meth Leopard, right? Meth Leopard music, especially in the album Woke. If you listen to this album, it'll pep you up.
In this particular climate, it is a word that gets thrown around a lot. The name of the album, but I do guess, I take from some of the stuff, there are political connotations in some of the things with the band, as there are in a lot of grindcore bands. Like I said, the one thing I noticed with this particular band, they do have some humor mixed in there. So it's not one of those records that's just straight, not that I care. I don't mind. I'm fine with political stances and band stuff. But sometimes when it's just that's the whole record over and over and there's no like kind of breaks of that, it gets tiresome. But I did like this record. What were your thoughts on it?
Pretty good. Pretty, grindcore at its finest. The album's not too long. Mm-hmm. I think almost every song on here is probably a minute. A little bit less than a minute. In general, I thought that I like that the intro kind of starts off slow and it's all instrumental and then it kicks into one of my favorite named songs of the whole album is Dead Kardashians, which picks up the pace. It's really, really hard, really heavy. Kim and Chloe would be terrified of the song. It's really cool and it kind of keeps up a nice, heavy, fast pace throughout the rest of the album.
That was one of my favorites.
A couple in particular are, like the Dead Kardashians is really good. Third Plus or Die is a pretty good song.
And that was what I was going to say. The guitar tone and things like that on this record definitely had a lot of things that kind of tips his hat to that, either like some of the thrash tones you would hear or like death metal, brutal death metal. You can hear some of those same almost like percussive guitar tones in there. Very crunchy, very, high gain, high distortion, but punchy though at the same time. And that song was a prime example of it. There was a few songs that have really good breakdowns on this record. And that was one of those things, and we had talked about this before, but I like blast beats and I like D beats and I like fast, but I also like when they'll go into either a breakdown or the other track I really liked on here, Elitism, how it started out with that crunchy kind of intro with the chugging along with, that crunchy guitar tone and the real kind of almost like locked into a groove drumming and then just goes straight out blasting all the way through the end of it. That was one that I thought was a really, really good track on this album. The other thing I would say, and you kind of alluded to it, the drumming on this album, though, I thought was really good. Very, very technical, very fast.
Yeah, the first time I listened to it, I didn't even realize they were a two-piece band. And then I started reading about it and saw that there was just a drummer and a guitar player. So, like the opposite of our last review, Family Vacation, Hella Fucking Sideways, when you had, you just had a drummer and a bass player.
Yeah. So
it was really cool. It sounded like you had a full piece band there. It sounded like you had bass and guitar. They pulled it off really well. Mm-hmm. I really like the Kangaroo Court was another one too. I think that might be my favorite.
Yeah,
that one is a great song. Love the beginning of it. It starts off a little slower. And it goes into like a fast paced thrill ride with double bass blasting at the end.
Oh yeah,
it's really cool. That one, and then Honey Bucket, Melvin's cover.
I was going to ask you about what you thought about that because I like that song. The one thing too, and I wanted to say there is a lot of people I think, and the Melvins are one of those bands that people don't really give enough credit to the influence they've had on a lot of different bands and a lot of different genres. Are you familiar with their work?
Yeah, I've listened to them. King Buzzo every once in a while will come to Nashville and he does like a solo show.
Oh yeah. You know what I always thought, and maybe I shouldn't say, but I always felt like a lot of the whole like grunge scene and things just completely ripped off what the Melvins were doing for years. you know, with some of the tones and some of the stuff they were putting into their records. And I know that a lot of them would cite them as a reference, or like not a reference, they would cite them as an influence, but I don't think any of them really, to me, I don't know that it was ever really widely known how influential that band was. And it comes back right here that here they are on a grindcore record. And I don't know that I think there's certain things that maybe the genres have in common, but I don't know that you would see a lot of bands covering that song, but it does speak kind of to how influential that particular band was.
Yeah, I'm surprised there's not more covers. I mean, this is a really great song by the Melvins, mm-hmm. and there's only two other bands that I know of that have a cover of this. I know Dillinger Escape Plan mm-hmm. has a version of this, and the other one is Burn the Priest. I don't know if you're familiar with them. Mm-hmm. They have a version. Now, their version sounds, at least the vocals sound a lot more like the Melvins
version.
And the Dillinger Escape Plan has it's a little heavier version, mm-hmm. but I think overall I like this version the best because it's just a really heavy and fast version of that song.
So I mean, really, what I was gonna say is that song was aggressive in its own way, but this version of it on this record takes that up about as many notches as you really can. This is it's a very aggressive cover of that, you know, with the vocal style being the vocal style, the rest of the record, that kind of grindcore-ish, growling vocals. It definitely added a different element, but a really interesting element to the song. I haven't heard the other two covers though that you mentioned of it. So I'd have to go check those out though to kind of compare it. But I did really like that cover.
Yeah. Good song. I think I'm going to play one of these tracks here. Kangaroo Court, okay. I think, is the one I'm going to play. We'll play a little bit of this so you can hear what Meth Leopard sounds like. That's fucking awesome. I mean, come on.
Yeah. I mean, for someone that's into extreme music, you know, it doesn't get really a whole lot more extreme than that sound, what they're getting there. And, you know, what I'll say is definitely the people that may have thought we were just totally fucking up a band's name. Go, it's supposed to be Def Leppard. Well, no, we're not talking about Def Leppard.
Way better than Def Leppard. Completely...
Yeah, I was going to say, you know, not that I have any qualms with Def Leppard, but I definitely like Meth Leppard a lot better than Def Leppard myself.
So, I'm pretty sure the drummer of Meth Leppard has both arms, too.
Yeah, I was going to say, I don't think you could blast it like that with only one arm. That'd be tough. So,
double bass, you know. And then one arm, and then drum cymbal.
Yeah. But, you know, and I don't know, anything else you would add about the record or anything else you want to throw in? I mean, I think we're both in agreement. This is a great record for people into grindcore and into extreme music. But I didn't know if you had any other things you thought here.
No, I agree. I think it's a great record. If you're into grindcore, I think you really like this record. And if you're just in metal in general, if you're not so much of a grindcore fan, I think you'll still like this just because of some of the different variation in some of the songs you have. It, you know, kind of mixes it up a little bit. Like I said, you get that one song, it has a little bit of a thrash sound to it. You have some picked up of tempos mm-hmm. and things like that. And you also got a little bit of humor in it. Plus, you got the Melvins cover of Honey Bucket. So it has a little something for everybody.
Yeah, I agree. I think this one is one that really pretty much a lot of metal fans would be into. Like, even like guys that are in the, you know, some of the genres of death metal would probably like this just because some of the tones and vocal style here isn't that far off.
And if you're a huge fan of talkies, you will also enjoy
talkies in original Captain Crunch. You know, you could cut the roof of your mouth off while listening to this record. This record's so good, it'll make your mouth bleed like a bag of talkies in a box of Captain Crunch. So, I mean, one thing I did want to reiterate again, I wanted to say thank you, Josh, from Wise Grinds Records, for, you know, letting us take a look at this and getting some more information to us, you know, regarding the band, the label. I do say that if you're into extreme music, definitely check out what they got on their label. You can find them on Facebook, Wise Grinds Records, also on Instagram, Bandcamp as well. You can pick this record up on vinyl from Wise Grinds Records. So, you know, go check it out. Definitely do that. And I think, though, that a lot of people will definitely be into this record.
Cool. This has been In the Pit with Dimitri and Dick. Until next time. Later.
All right. Have a good one, guys.